Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me over there so we can read the text together. But if you haven't got your Bible, no problem. I'll read the text and I'll explain as we go along the way. All right, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, whilst all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate them up. Some fell on rocky places, and it did not find much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered away because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times that which was sown." Verse 9, "Whosoever has ears, let them hear." So today, this portion of scripture, I'm going to call it the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, this is quite a popular portion of scripture that we might have heard at one time or the other. But what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to try and take it from another perspective as it relates to us. So you might have heard this parable of the sower explained before, but today I'm just going to look at it from a slightly different angle, but still focusing on the text. So today we're going to look at the study in three sections. The first one, I'm just going to describe what a parable is. Second one, we'll look at how we're going to break up the text then. For the third portion, we'll focus on just one part of the text, and I'll explain in detail. So this is the scenario here. Jesus was gathered he was sitting down somewhere, and if you read the Bible quite a bit, you see that when Jesus was, you know, sitting and teaching, there were always loads and loads and loads of people. The Bible tells us that there was once he was sat on a mountaintop, and he was teaching people, and he taught them for 3 days straight. And I mean, people were so engrossed by what he was teaching that they even forgot to eat. And that's when he fed them with 5,000. There were 5,000 people, and that's when he fed them with loaves and fish. So Jesus was always telling stories and parables to illustrate his point. Now, the interesting thing about Jesus was that he came down and explain things that people could relate to on an everyday basis. So he took the truths of the Bible, the truths of the word, and he brought it to a point where people could relate to what he was saying. He didn't make it theologically astute so that people were like, you know, what's Jesus saying here? No, he brought it down to the level that people could actually understand. And that's why he used a lot of parables to illustrate a number of things. Now, in this context, Jesus explains this particular spiritual truth using the parable of a sower. Now, in modern terms, you would call that sower a farmer. And I believe the reason why he used the story of the farmer going out to sow seed was because in those days in Israel, a lot of them were farmers. It was an agrarian society. So he looked around and he used this parable to illustrate to them a very, very, very important spiritual truth. And I believe the parable of the sower is so fundamental to how the word of God works in the lives of people. So we'll look at that. We'll start today, but I'll spend the next two or three Fridays just trying to illustrate what, you know, all the different parts of the story of this parable actually mean to us in real terms now, as it relates to us in our everyday life. So that's the background. Jesus was always illustrating very deep spiritual truth using very simple terms, things that people could relate to. And in this case, he was using a farmer and someone who goes out to sow seed. So first thing, I got some definitions here, by the way. I like to do that. So the first thing is, what is a parable? And here I put down, a parable is a simple story used to illustrate moral and spiritual, to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. And Jesus, you know, like I mentioned, used this quite a lot to illustrate a lot spiritual truths about the Bible. I remember when I was much younger, I must have been about 5 or 6. And then we used to have my grandmother over at our house, and you know, because we're living in the metropolitan city of the country that I was born in, but she lived quite far away. And once in a while, my grandmother, she's passed on now, she would, you know, come and visit. She would spend a few days with us, sometimes a month, sometimes a couple of weeks. And I remember very clearly that I absolutely loved having our grandmother around. Why? Because you were guaranteed that in the evenings before you went to bed, she would tell you a really, really, really touching story. And we would gather around her and she would, you know, tell us these stories about, you know, this bird that flew there, this bird that did this, so on and so forth. And we're so thrilled at that age that, wow, what is grandma saying here? And she would use those stories to illustrate certain things to us. So those are really, really fun memories that I have. So the same thing that Jesus was doing here, to illustrate very important things, but putting it in the context of parable. So a parable is a simple story used to illustrate moral or spiritual truth in this context. Now, the second thing is this. So looking at this portion of scripture, we read about this farmer who another version refers to as a sower. And this guy, the Bible describes, you know, went around on the field and, you know, scattered seed around as a farmer. I know for us in the modern age now, that might be a bit difficult to grasp. I know the reason I'm saying that is that when we think about farmer and farming now, it's become so industrialized that what you're thinking about is a man sitting on a combine harvester, massive arms, and the thing is doing the soil automatically. I even believe nowadays it's computerized, and what you just do is just punching the numbers, plop, 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 plop. You know, you measure the size of the field and you say, Mr. Combine Harvester, you're on. You just tap the thing in and the chap is there just sipping his cappuccino or whatever. And if he's from the West Indies, he's probably got his, like, you know, pot of curry pepper soup or something. And, you know, the harvester does all the work for him and he just, you know, carries on. And when it's done, he switches it off. Well, in those days, it wasn't like that. Being a farmer or someone who did agriculture, it was heavy work. It was very tasking. And because that was what they relied on for their living, they had to do it. So you'd have people waking up maybe 5 or 6 in the morning, walking walking all day. And what they probably would have, they would have maybe, if they were really wealthy, they would have maybe one cow or something, and they would pull a plow and dig the hard soil, and you're just moving it along inch by inch. And whether it was sunny and the sun was scorching, they still were at it. When it was raining, they were at it. You know, it wasn't like, it's not like what we have now that's like really fancy. Oh, it's raining, I better, you know, put the air conditioning in on in my combine harvester. No, it was what I call very, very, very rigorous. And Jesus used this example to illustrate the truth to them, which I believe is pertinent now. So we want to look at this parable in 3 forms. We want to look at the sower or the farmer. We want to look at the seed that this farmer was, you know, chucking around on the field. And we want to look at the soil itself. And I believe that as we look at this, it will give us like a really good example, a really good context of how the Word of God works. But today we're going to focus on the sower. Next week, we'll look at the seed and all those other things. Now, let's take a look at this farmer, or, you know, the sower, the person who's, you know, going out and chucking the seed around on the field. what was this guy thinking about? What did Jesus want us to understand from the mindset of this guy? I don't believe Jesus just told a story because, okay, I just need to tell this really nice, interesting story. No, Jesus wanted us to realize certain things about what it involved then as a farmer and relating it to us now. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to relate this farmer person or the sower, the person who's going out, I'm going to relate him to you and I. Now, how am I going to relate him to you and I? Well, because when Jesus was departing from the earth, he gave you and I as Christians a task to do. And that task that Jesus gave us was go out and preach the gospel. Go out and preach the gospel. So the first thing we see about the sower is that, or the farmer is anyone who teaches the word of God, anyone who preaches the word of God. Now, not necessarily just pastors or evangelists or people who are in quote, full-time ministry. He's talking about every single one of us. Every single one of us that, you know, speaks about the Bible, teaches the Bible, explains the Bible. Do you understand? If you're that person, which every one of us are by, you know, designation, then in this context, you are the sower. You are the farmer. So if we look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, he says here, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So Jesus' disciples were with him and they saw so many people. And Jesus looked at the people as he was observing them. And the Bible says he was touched when he saw so many people and he described them as sheep having no shepherd. And his response to his disciples was, you guys pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his harvest field. So Jesus using the context of people as a harvest field in that Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. So what am I saying here? You and I, who are believers, are the harvesters. We're the farmers that God is sending out into the world to preach the gospel, to teach about Christ, about God, about what he has done for them. So you and I are the farmers. We are the sowers in this context. If we look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, still on the first point, we're looking at the sower here, the farmer, and I'm saying that you and I are the farmer. We are the sower in our context now. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it says here, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we see this Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, Jesus telling you and I that, look, go out and preach the gospel. Go out and tell people about what I have done for the world. So you and I are the farmers. If we were in church now, I would have said, turn to the person who's sitting next to you, look them right in the eyes and tell them, you are the farmer, you are the sower. No problem. I know you're online now. Just look at yourself and tell yourself that. So you and I are the sower and we're the farmer in this context. Now, I want to look at the second point here about this farmer. I'll use the term farmer instead of sower. I'll just interchange actually so we can stick to one word. So we understand that you and I are the farmers in this context that Jesus is referring to. Now, let's begin to look at the mindset of this farmer. Now, the second thing is this, and you will agree with me, that when the farmer goes out to sow seed and he's got his bag of seed, I don't know, maybe he wants to plant apples, he wants to plant oranges or depending. So he has the seed with him. When he steps out of the house and he goes to the farmland, and he begins to scatter the seed. Now, I'm believing and I totally understand that this guy or woman, at the back of their minds, they have a goal in mind. And what's that goal? The goal is that I'm doing all this hard work. I'm, you know, going out, I'm sowing the seed. My goal is that I am going to reap a harvest. So if I've scattered apple seed around, I'm expecting that in a few months, I don't know how long it takes for those apples to come and spring up. In a few months, I should see apples growing. So when the farmer goes out, he has at the back of the mind that, look, I'm doing this because I want to reap a harvest. So that's what's driving this farmer to do all that, to go and do all the hard work. So that's in the context of the agrarian society. You know, you sow, like, you know, you chuck out apple seeds, you get apple back. Now, how does that relate to us? What is our harvest when we go out and we preach the word? Now, what is my harvest now as I'm sat here and as I'm teaching the word of God? Am I just doing it because, well, I just kind of like doing it and it's a hobby? No. Why am I really doing this? Well, when we preach the word from the perspective of Jesus Christ, we're expecting a harvest. And I'm just going to mention some of the things that we expect when we teach the word or when we preach, or really certain things that you expect as well when someone is teaching the word. The first and foremost, which is the most important thing, is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. And it says here, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. So the first harvest we see here is that we want people to know Christ. We want people to become born again. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21 says something quite interesting here. And it's something that really puzzles a lot of people. It puzzled me for a while as well, but I've just accepted it. He says God, in God's wisdom, he didn't use anything complicated to get people to know Christ. What he has asked us to do is to use his word, to preach from the word of God that Jesus died for your sins. Jesus died so that you could be reconciled to God. So we see here that the primary harvest that we want, that Christ wants from the sower, from the farmer, is a harvest of souls, a harvest of people coming to know God in his true form. Now, I'm not talking about just religion. I'm not talking about introducing people to church activities, which is great. And one thing that, you know, I tell people quite a lot here is this. Like when I talk to people about church, maybe people who are not Christians, the reaction I get mostly is people think that becoming a Christian or becoming a believer is about attending church services. So they're like, oh, does that mean I have to go to church on the Sundays and do this? And I'm like, well, that's secondary, my friend. The most important thing is that you realize that you can come into relationship with God. Forget about the church services. That's great. But the first thing, the primary thing, is your soul, that Jesus died for you. Do you understand? So that's the first harvest that we expect when we teach people the word of God who are not believers, who do not know God yet. Now, the second harvest that we expect as well is in, if we look at Psalm 107 verse 20, Psalm 107 verse 20, he says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, when we preach the word of God has the ability to save a person. I mean, for anyone who is a Christian, how did you become a Christian? Someone preached the gospel to you, words, and your heart was touched and you decided to follow Christ, to give your heart to him. So that's the first harvest. The second harvest is God wants us to preach the word so that it can deliver people from destruction. This one is a bit interesting to explain. Now, someone might say, hang on, what are you saying, Pastor Benson? Words, how can words deliver someone? I mean, I'm speaking. Well, let me just give you a little analogy here. Words, particularly the words of God from the Bible, they are not ordinary words. They are full of power. We'll look at that in a moment. But Words have a way of touching people, spiritually speaking, particularly when it's the Bible. Let's even put the Bible aside. If, for example, someone came to you and they haven't, you know, touched you, they haven't hit you on the face or anything to harm you, and you know this person, and this person begins to say a lot of really hateful words to you. Now, this person hasn't struck you physically, they haven't harmed you physically, but when someone that you love or someone that you know starts to say a lot of hateful things to you, it affects you. Sometimes it's like you're even like really hurt in your heart. Now, why are you hurt in your heart? I mean, or why do you even cry sometimes when people say such things to you? They haven't touched you, they haven't hit you, they haven't, you know, harmed you physically, but they have spoken words, and those words have touched you to the point that it affects you emotionally. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that words on their own are very powerful. All right, but we'll look at that. And particularly when it comes to the Word of God. So with the Word of God has the ability to deliver people from different things. The Word of God can deliver people from you know, stress. It can deliver them from demonic oppression, from so many things. I've personally seen the Word of God do that. So back to the point. So the second point we're making here is that there is a harvest that we're expecting. And the second harvest is that we're expecting that the Word of God, as we sow the Word of God into the lives of people, it will deliver them, it will change them, it will heal them. Do you understand what I mean? So that's it. So we have that harvest. And so we see here that when the farmer is going out and he's sowing seed, he expects something back. He's not just doing it for the fun of it. Now, so why am I saying this? I'm saying this because it's important for you and I that when we preach the Word of God, or when we hear the Word of God preached, we really understand what's going on. And preaching the Word of God is not motivational speaking, by the way. Motivational speaking is when you are encouraging someone's soul. You know, you're saying really nice words to encourage them. That's fine. But motivational speaking is entirely different from preaching the Word of God. Because the Word of God, when you preach it, it comes with the power of God in that word. So it's not motivational preaching. So I'm just saying this to us, that as harvesters, as farmers that God has asked to preach the gospel, we are expecting a harvest. And the harvest that we expect is that the Word of God that we sow will touch people's lives. It will change them. It will comfort them. It will encourage them. Do you understand? So we expect a harvest each time. Now, the third thing I'm looking at here is this. When the sower and the farmer goes out to sow the seed, he's scattering it around. Intrinsically, I don't know if that's how to pronounce that word. Intrinsically or inherently, he believes that, look, I've got this little seed in my hand. When I sow the seed into the ground, it will yield fruit. How it does it, I'm not quite sure. So that motivates him again. So when a farmer goes out and he's, you know, chucking seed all around, he's doing that with something at the back of his mind. He's doing it with the realization, with the awareness that this seed has the power to bring fruit. Even though it's little, it's like, you know, like really little, it can become probably become a tree, might become whatever, an orange tree, apple tree, and so on. So the third thing here is this, that sower, that farmer, believes in the power of that seed that he's holding in his hand, that he's spreading around. Now, what does that really mean to us in our own context? What this means to us is this. We must come to the realization that the Word of God that we preach has the power to change lives. How it does it, I don't know. I just remember that my wife and I were praying for someone not too long ago. And we said, okay, let's pray together about, you know, what you're going through. And we prayed and we said, when you get the chance, read the Bible and it will do so. It will just help you. And she couldn't really understand the connection. She was like, what will the word of God do? Are you just telling me that these words that you're speaking or just reading the Bible will change me? I said, yes, it will. Just give it a go. So the sower believes that the seed that he's sowing has the power to bring fruit. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it. It'd just be a waste of time. So in our context, the third point I'm making is that we must come to the realization that when we preach the word of God, when we teach the word of God, that it has the power to change lives. Otherwise, we're just telling stories. Do you understand what I mean? Now, if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, God said. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and the purpose for which I have sent it. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because the word of God that we preach or that we speak, is it has power in it. And the more aware we are of the power that is contained in the word of God, the more confident we will be when we preach the word. Do you understand? So that's the third thing that the sower has at the back of his mind. So we've looked at three things tonight about the sower. One, the sower is the person who preaches or teaches the word, like you and I. The sower, the back of his mind is expecting a harvest, like we should be. And the third thing is that he believes in the power of the seed that he's actually carrying and sowing, that it has the power to change. Now, I'm just going to go through two more points and we'll end tonight. So the fourth point is this. The farmer, the farmer actually has to go out to the field to sow the seed. I think maybe they've made drones now that can, you know, fetch the thing for you and, you know, chuck it out in the field. But in this context, the farmer could sit down at home and drink tea and coffee all day and say, I'm expecting a harvest. And people will be watching and like, hang on, how are you expecting a harvest if you haven't sown any seed? So the fourth thing is that the preacher or the person who wants to teach the word of God, as God has told us to do from Matthew chapter 28, has to go out and preach the word, has to communicate that, has to, you know, put some effort into it. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God makes it grow. So the fourth thing here is this. How does the seed grow? I don't know. You probably don't know. I know science has said this, photosynthesis, the seed does this. We understand those things, but what causes it to grow? I mean, how can a little seed that way, you know, just become like an apple tree? Well, God does that. But the fourth point I'm making here is that the sower or the farmer has to go out and spread the seed and sow it. And he has to endure all sorts of things to ensure that he sows the seed. Because there are times that he's out in the field and it's shining hot. The sun is scorching and there's no air conditioning in out on the field. But he still carries on. Sometimes it's raining and he still carries on in the rain. So the fourth thing I'm saying here is this. As someone who will, you know, speak the word to someone or teach someone or tell people about Christ, it's going to be inconvenient sometimes. It's going to be inconvenient sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be like, oh my goodness, do I really have to do this? This person I'm going to speak to, I'm not quite sure they're going to accept what I'm going to say. Sometimes they might even laugh at me. So this farmer we see, it had to endure a lot of hardship to get the seed out there. So the same thing for us. It's not easy preaching the word. As I'm doing that, it's a bit easy because it's you folks that I'm preaching to. But there are times I'm out there and I want to talk to someone in my office or some friend. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is really inconvenient. This is going to be awkward or something. So it's inconvenient sometimes, but it's worth it because of the harvest. So that's the second, the fourth point. Now, the last point I'm going to make here, and I'll close and we'll pray tonight, which is the fifth point. The fifth point is I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do, underline that word, that phrase, to do and to teach. Romans chapter 2, verse 21. Romans chapter 2, verse 21. He says, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? So the fifth point I want to make about the sower, you and I, is we must practice what we preach. We cannot be hypocrites. You know, am I saying that we're perfect or that we should be, you know, 100% before we can teach the word of God to people? No, I'm not saying that. If we're 100%, then, you know, Jesus wouldn't have come to die for our sins. So I'm not saying we have to be perfect to teach. I'm not saying that God expects us to get everything right. But I believe that God expects us to be willing to do what we're teaching as well. So if, for example, I'm teaching about a certain thing, if I'm telling people, you know, you should really try and, you know, read your Bible as often as you can, I can't just not read my Bible at all. I should be prepared to do that as well. Now, I might not read it as often as I want to. I might be tired at night. I might have the Bible by my left. I doze off. So I might not do it perfectly, but I have the intention to do it. So the fifth thing about this sower, about the farmer, is this. This guy practiced what he preaches. So it would be really odd for the sower to gather so many other farmers and say, well, boys, if he's an American, well, boys, it's time to talk about sowing the seed into the ground, boys. When it's 0 degrees temperature, you need to be out there. When it's boiling in the sun, you need to be out there. That's what life is about. And he inspires people and tells them, and they're like, oh, farmer, Mr. John, you really inspired us today. And Mr. John, the farmer, has no intention of going out at all to sow anything. Immediately, the other farmers are out there sweating out on the field. He just goes in, takes his cappuccino and says, see you later, boys. No. Mr. John teaches, and he also endures the hardship of sowing the seed out there. All right. So I'm going to stop there tonight. So we're looking at the parable of the sower. Next week, we'll look at the seed. What does that really mean? The seed that is sowing. Then after that, we'll look at the soil in this context. So today we focused on the sower or the farmer, and we've said, one, the sower or the farmer is you and I. Second, the farmer has a goal in mind, which is the harvest. The farmer believes in the seed, that when he sows the seed, it's going to germinate. The farmer also believes that, well, the farmer also has to go out and plant. He has to do something. And lastly, we've read here that the farmer also is not a hypocrite. Not that he's perfect, but he also intends to go out and do something. So the same way when we teach about something, you know, we should be prepared to do what we're teaching as well, so that we're not hypocrites. I'm going to stop there tonight, and I'll just pray for us.